I get every now and then comments on, the teachings and things like that. And I'm sure that some folks don't like, the teachings, and that's what encourages me. It shows you're on the right track. Okay? Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. My job in preaching and teaching the scriptures, believe it or not, I am so happy for all the people that it's helping, but it is not to please you. It really is not. Now, if you're pleased with the teachings, that's because you love the truth. That's why you're pleased with the teachings, for as so many of you are. But look at again at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Isn't that a great verse? My Heavenly Father, every day as I'm in constant communion with Him and my great Savior and my great teacher, the Holy Spirit, I talk to all three of them all day long about things, and with a clear conscience and sincere conscience, I can tell you that I just live every second to please them in what I say. That matters nothing to me what humans like it. Now, again, I remind you, if you're pleased with it, that shows you're having a great heart because you want truth. All right, so praise the Lord for that. Okay, let's see here. Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. We're in lesson 20. Jeremiah 50. This is lesson 20. Now, we're going to read the chapter here and watch. There's so much here in this chapter as well regarding the mother. Okay, the word that the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. And remember what we're doing. We're gathering doctrinal evidence to identify the mother. Okay, that's what we're doing from Genesis to Revelation. Properly doing it. Declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard. Publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken, Bel is confounded. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate. And none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come. They and the children of Judah together, going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, Come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. They're shepherds. That's their pastors. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them, and their adversaries said, We offend not, because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Remove out of the midst of Babylon, and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be as the he-goats before the flocks. For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country. And they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as of a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. What a good shot. You know, I've always wanted to learn how to shoot the bow and arrow. You know, and it's still on my list of things to do because it's just such a biblical thing. Because I just want to. And Chaldea shall be a spoil. All that spoil her shall be satisfied, saith the Lord. Because ye were glad, because ye rejoiced, O ye destroyers of mine heritage, because ye are grown fat as the heifer at grass and bellow as bulls, your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nation shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. Because of the wrath of the Lord it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at all her plagues. Put yourselves in array against Babylon. Round about, all ye that bend the bow, shoot at her, spare no arrows. for she hath sinned against the Lord. Watch all these references to Babylon. Some were current and prophesying regarding the physical Babylon on the earth. Some are still future in mystery Babylon. Okay, verse 15. Shout against her round about. She hath given her hand. Her foundations are fallen. Her walls are thrown down. For it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance upon her as she hath done. Do unto her. Cut off the sower from Babylon, and him that handleth the sickle in the time of harvest. For fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn every one to his people, and they shall flee every one to his own land. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria hath devoured him, and last this Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. There's a good Bible trivia for the most excellent of students. Why is Nebuchadrezzar's name here Nebuchadrezzar at times? Why was it also called Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadrezzar. Huge kudos if anyone can answer that. Don't look in the cheating commentaries because they're all wrong. Verse 18, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, as I have punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring Israel again to his habitation, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. Go up against the land of Marathaim, even against it, and against the inhabitants of Pekod. Waste and utterly destroy after them, saith the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded thee. A sound of battle is in the land, and of great destruction. Watch this huge clue. I've said it a couple times. Wonder why does he say that? How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How has Babylon become a desolation among the nations? Notice, God Almighty tells us, and it is true even in Revelation, Babylon is the hammer of the whole earth, a hammer that just smashes every single nation out there. See, that's why I said that's the biggest hammer in the toolbox that Vatican City has. Okay, remember, the mother is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Thank you, honey. My tea. My evening tea. For my throat. Okay, so it is the hammer of the whole earth. It's there. So that's what Babylon is. The hammer of the whole earth. What a great clue. You remember that. Verse 24. I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. Thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. The Lord hath opened his armory. I'll bet you didn't even know the Lord had an armory. What's an armory? An armory is a place where weapons are stored. And for the perhaps the unsaved people listening to this, those of you who think you're saved, but you don't believe in Romans 3, you believe heretics out there preaching another gospel, God has an armory, and in that armory, the greatest weapon he has is going to be the lake of fire that he's going to put you in. He has a lot of weapons up to that, but his ultimate weapon is the lake of fire. Right here, the Lord hath opened his armory and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation. Indignation is burning with his anger. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the utmost border. Open her storehouses. Cast her up as heaps and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. Slay all her bullocks. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe unto them, for their day is come, the time of their visitation. The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon, to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. Call together the archers against Babylon. All ye that bend the bow, camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she hath done, do unto her. For she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. How about that? Babylon is proud against the Lord. That's why it says that any teacher out there or any person doesn't give consent unto wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, in 1 Timothy, that doctrine is the establishment commandment, because it's the only way you can produce godliness. If he doesn't give consent, he is proud. You see, they store up all their pride. And like the heretic told me today, that was a direct attack against me. They're all concerned with their agendas. They're proud. You know what's so great about the Bible? You know, you read the Bible, there's so many things, but when you read the scriptures tell the truth about its heroes. And the more you read the Bible, you don't even think of your own agenda. You don't have an agenda. That's why you're never proud. That's why you're never offended. Because you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, a son of the Most High God, an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ in an enemy territory called Earth, an evil world at the time. And all you're interested in is teaching, preaching, living truth. That's it. That's it. You don't really care about all the other garbage. Therefore, shall her young men fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord of hosts, for thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee. And the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up, and I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all round about him. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together. And all that took them captives held them fast. They refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall throughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. What does disquiet mean? Good Bible term. Remember when Samuel was raised up by that wicked witch? According to Saul, he went and saw the witch there, and she raised up Samuel. Samuel said, why hast thou disquieted me? And in the Psalms, it means to be cast down. Samuel didn't want to come back up here after he was down there with Abraham and in paradise at the other side of hell. Hell was the nether parts of the earth, but there was one side was torments in time past. Then there was paradise, according to Luke 16. Now, it's just all torments. Paradise is up in the third heaven, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 35. A sword is upon the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, and upon her princes, and upon her wise men. A sword is upon the liars, and they shall dote. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. A sword is upon their horses, and upon their chariots, and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her, and they shall become as women. They shall become as women. That is exactly what the pastors and teachers are today. Women! That's how they become. They have a shoestring for a backbone and french fries for ribs. That's what happens to these so-called men today. A sword is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up. For it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. And you see, today, covetousness is idolatry, and you can get so much into idolatry today that it becomes your agenda. You can idolize your agenda, okay, and the things you want to do, and that's why you start going crazy and want to do things like build your own country called Probapticale. Verse 39, therefore the wild beast of the desert with the wild beast of the island shall dwell there, and the owl shall dwell therein, and it shall be no more inhabited forever. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. Behold, a people shall come from the north, and a great nation, and many kings shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. They shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel and will not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like the sea, and they shall ride upon horses. Everyone put in array like a man to the battle against thee, O daughter of Babylon. The king of Babylon hath heard the report of them, and his hands waxed feeble. Anguish took hold of him, and pangs as of a woman in travail. Behold, pangs as, you know, it's very painful for a woman to give birth. You know, and for you men to describe it, as the old heathen Carol Burnett said, if you men want to understand childbirth, just take your bottom lip and pull it over your head. There you go. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan unto the habitation of the strong, but I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Therefore hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Babylon and his purposes that he hath purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate with them. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations. You see all that stuff in there about Babylon? It was true of the physical country. It's going to be true also of mystery Babylon. Now, how do you dissect which is which? You keep reading your Bible. Now, I'm not here to point out to you all of the doctrine behind it. I'd have to pour into your brain hundreds of times through the scriptures reading it. It's simple. Just keep reading your Bible. You know, and the things you don't understand, don't worry about it. You'll get it the next time through. You'll add more to it. And God keeps adding more and more every time you read it. That's how it's designed. Now, chapter 51. Watch what else happens with Babylon. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind, and will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about, the day of trouble. In 1 hour, Revelation says it's going to happen unto Babylon. Verse 3, against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow, and against him that lifteth himself up in his brigandine. And spare ye not her young men, destroy ye utterly all her host. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are thrust through in her streets. For Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Watch this. Babylon hath been. I read all this to you. This is such a huge clue. How to identify the mother. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand, and that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. Crazy. That mad there does not mean angry. There's another English word that is totally abused by us. Why are you so mad at me? Mad means crazy. The word you're really looking for is angry. Now notice verse 7. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. Go with me to Revelation 17 and look at this golden cup here. My gosh, can you all see this? 17:1, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Whoa, whoa, look at that golden cup. Did you ever know of a religious system on the planet in Roman Catholicism, which is the hammer of the great whore, The mother, who is the great city that reigneth over the kings of the earth, the great city is Vatican City, and that biggest hammer she has is Roman Catholicism. And when that Roman Catholic Baal satanic counterfeit priest stands up there at every mass, he holds up that golden cup in the mass. Are you all getting this? That right there tells me there's 1 billion people on the planet deceived. Right flat out, simple to see, easy to see, 1 billion Roman Catholics totally deceived. Okay? If you're a Roman Catholic, you're totally deceived. When they hold up that golden cup, you ought to run as fast as you can and get out of there. Just if you knew the Bible, you would, but you don't. Now, for the rest of the 5 billion plus that are left on the planet, because remember, the entire world is deceived, that Vatican City has her little the mother takes then her little harlots and abominations and permeates into Protestant churches, into the world system, into just watching TV and everything else, and into the hymn books, everything. There's so much it does, and it gets you too. And the only way to stay completely safe, totally pure from it, untouched by it, is to know the King James Bible backwards and forwards. Okay? Not the books of men. They will do you no good. Zero. Wow. Man, look at verse 7. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that hath made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad. Babylon, verse 8, is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her. Take balm for her pain. If so be, she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go, every one, into his own country. Maybe that's the verse that the heretic Phelps thinks he should start Probaptical. That's not the verse. For her judgment reacheth unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the skies. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come, and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon, make the watch strong, set up the watchmen, prepare the ambushes, for the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake. Woo-wee! Boy, was that a good sneeze! Now, if any of you even thunk to say, God bless you, right there. See, the mother's tentacles even got you through the video camera. You don't think God bless you. Because God has already blessed me in Ephesians 1:3 with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So if you thought or even thunk it, God bless you, doesn't work today. We're in the dispensation of grace. But that was a good sneeze. So then what do you say when people sneeze? I always say this, boy, that was a good sneeze. If you feel like you have to say something. Verse 12, set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon, make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen, prepare the ambushes, for the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. The Lord of hosts hath sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heaven by his understanding. Oh, my Father, in the midst of all this destruction, there you are. Verse 16, when he, that's my Father and your Father, when he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. You see, when you make engraven images and all that, you're just confused. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity, the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. You know, I had a wonderful comment today. I think it was from Lisa, Yeah, Lisa. And she said that her family, they've never realized how much is in there about these images. That's why I read every verse that has to do with it. You see, it impacted her. Well, praise the Lord. They are vanity, the work of errors, and the time of their visitation they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, for with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. And with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. And with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman. And with thee will I break in pieces old and young. And with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock. And with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen. And with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. And I will render... You know what's really dawned on me right now? This is probably the first time any of you all even heard this section of the Bible. You all need to get reading, huh? And I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, watch it, O destroying mountain. Look what Babylon is called. Destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth. This destroying mountain destroyeth all the earth. Do you see why in Revelation 17 where it says, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. It's all in uppercase. The biggest section in the scriptures where so many words are put one after the other in uppercase because God wants to get your attention. Verse 25, behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth. This system destroys all the earth. And I will stretch out my hand upon thee and roll thee down from the rocks and will make thee a burnt mountain. And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith the Lord. Set ye up a standard in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations against her. Call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a captain against her. Cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, the captains thereof, and all the rulers thereof, and all the land of his dominion. And the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. Now, all these prophecies back here regarding the physical kingdom of that wicked Babylon. You know what's so dangerous today? What's it called over there in Revelation 17? Mystery, Babylon the Great. It's a secret. It's a system. It's a great city today that is not even called Babylon on the earth. Okay? Verse 30. The mighty men of Babylon. This, by the way, now look at verse 29. Here is the, we're coming up to a section of scripture why women should never be involved in military combat or even as police officers, because police officers fight, I can tell you. Verse 29, and the land shall tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. Now watch it, verse 30. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They didn't fight. These are the mighty men of Babylon. They have remained in their holes. They just sat there and hid. Their might hath failed. All their strong might hath failed. What did they become as? They became as women. What? These men became as women and would not fight. You see, when it's really tough, and I don't want to hear it. Don't email me all the goofy stories that you hear about a woman who did great in combat and a good woman police officer. I was a police officer. I'm not saying that they haven't done things. I'm telling you, when pushing comes to shove and the utmost of the worst physical encounters you can have, I'll tell you what, you'd rather have a man there in combat and even on the street as a policeman. They make great things doing other things, but I'm telling you, they have the potential to be involved in some really, really serious stuff, and you don't want them there because that's not how God designed it, okay? Verse 30, and here's an encouraging thing, too, by the way. For all you women believers, it should very much encourage you. I tell this to Pam all the time. that when she does so much to help me around here so I can do the ministry, do you realize that when it comes to eternal rewards in heaven, you can be just as equal as any man when you do the job God would have you to do on the earth and you fulfill the role as a believing woman, whether you're single or married, what God would have you to do? And I'm not talking like just chores. I'm talking as Christ lives through you, you do everything. So don't think that you're in this position of you're getting ripped off. You're not. Verse 30. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as women. They have burned her dwelling places. Her bars are broken. One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end. Now, you know what's funny? Let's tell you, 32 minutes. You know what's funny? I keep reading this. I'm wondering how many people, I know what a lot of you are thinking. I don't even understand all this. I do. But I don't have time to sit here and break down and show you all the verses connecting with what's going on. Just know this. How about this for a good general rule of thumb in these past two chapters? It's not good what God's going to do to Babylon. Right? You got that much, right? Verse 31, one post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end, and that the passages are stopped, and the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are affrighted. You see, they're affrighted, these men of war. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her. Yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, it's the same guy, his name's changed for a reason. Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out. The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon, and the inhabitant of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea shall Jerusalem say. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry, and Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, and astonishment, and an hissing, without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions. They shall yell as lions' whelps. In their heat I will make their feast, and I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the Lord. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with he-goats. How is Shishak taken? Look at this. And how is the praise of the whole earth surprised? Oh, look at that. How has Babylon become an astonishment among the nations? The sea has come up upon Babylon. She is covered with a multitude of the waves thereof. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land where no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man pass thereby. And I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he hath swallowed up, and the nations shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord, and lest your heart faint, and ye fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land. A rumor shall both come one year, and after that in another year shall come a rumor, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days come that I will do a judgment upon the graven images of Babylon, and her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Then the heaven and the earth, and all that is therein, shall sing for Babylon, for the spoiler shall come unto her from the north, saith the Lord. As Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. Ye, look it. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. We are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame hath covered our faces, for strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Wherefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will do judgment upon her graven images, and through all her land the wounded shall groan. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven. Remember there at the Tower of Babel? They wanted to build it up to heaven. Remember Satan's evil plan? I will ascend into heaven. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. A sound of a cry cometh from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, because the Lord hath spoiled Babylon, and destroyed out of her the great voice, when her waves do roar like great waters. A noise of their voice is uttered, because the spoiler is come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken. For the Lord God of recompenses shall surely requite. Payback time is coming. And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain. Look at this, and the folk, that's the people, in the fire, and they shall be weary. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Seraiah, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, into Babylon in the fourth year of his reign, and this Seraiah was a quiet prince. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil. Oh, how did we get our Bible? So Jeremiah wrote in a book, oh, that's hard, all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Seraiah, when thou comest to Babylon and shalt see and shalt read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Phenomenal, is it not? Well, it is to me and it is to the Lord. Okay, there's so much in there. This is what you want to understand. Don't be confused. Just all know this, Babylon, in both the earthly kingdom of Babylon and the future mystery Babylon that's been occupied and going on since. It started in Genesis. It's always been there, seducing through her sorceries and her witchcrafts. But today it's a secret. We live in the mystery age, the dispensation of the grace of God for the believers. And to the earth, God is dispensing grace, but Satan is dispensing the mystery of iniquity. Okay, Satan, the great counterfeiter. And part of that mystery, that secret purpose of iniquity, is to not have you know any of this stuff. That there's a system out there in direct counterfeit rebellion against God designed to destroy the souls of every person on the earth. Okay? And you don't want to fall prey to it. Ezekiel chapter 6. Now, if you want to have an extra homework kudos assignment, I purposely left out the book of Lamentations, because there's no direct references, but the book of Lamentations, the entire book, is the results of what that mother did to Israel. And let me just show you how Jeremiah kind of words it. Look at verse 1. Look at how many times you find three exclamation marks in one verse. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces, how has she become tributary? Talking about Jerusalem. Talking about Jerusalem. Go back with me in chapter 4, verse 10. The hands of the pitiful women, that's the women of Jerusalem, have sodden their own children. You know what that means? Boiled. They boiled their children and ate them. because it was so bad. They were their meat. Their children were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. The Lord hath accomplished his fury. God is deadly serious about serving him or serving Satan. Y'all better start choosing. Wake up. And look at how it ends. Verse 21. Turn thou, Jeremiah is praying to the Lord, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old, before the mother got her grapple hooks into us. But he says, but thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. All because of the serving of the mother. Now, after the destruction of Jerusalem, we have the book of Ezekiel. After Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed that country and destroyed Jerusalem. Ezekiel chapter 6. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, this is like 20 or so years after. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them, and say, Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys. Behold, I, even I, God does that several times in scriptures when he says things like that. Behold, I, even I. Do you remember Genesis with the flood? He said it that way. Behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places, and your altars shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols, and I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars. In all your dwelling places the city shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cease, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Yet will I leave a remnant, that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations, when ye shall be scattered through the countries. And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations, whither they shall be carried captives. This is so sad. God the Father says this, because I, that's the Father, am broken with their whorish heart. Israel commits spiritual adultery against their Creator, their Maker, their Father, God Almighty. And he says, because I am broken with their whorish heart. You know, I can say it this way, and it's pretty corny. God has feelings. Very much so. More than you could ever imagine. Because I am broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes. And that's why it says today, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Because I am broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes, which go a whoring after their idols. And they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed and all their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them. God does not speak in vain. Thus saith the Lord God, smite with thine hand and stamp with thy foot and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. He that is far off shall die of the pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword, and he that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus will I accomplish my fury upon them. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord, when their slain men shall be among their idols, round about their altars, upon every high hill, in all the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree. There you go, you Christmas tree lovers. And under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savor to all their idols. So will I stretch out my hand upon them and make the land desolate. Yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblath, in all their habitations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 8. You know why it's such a great comforting thing when Paul told Timothy, preach the word. You know? Okay, that's Zadok drinking water, by the way. Ezekiel 8. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of an hand, and took me by a lock of mine head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward, at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So God tells him to go in and take a look at these wicked abominations. Now watch this. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things. Reminds me of Romans 1, how they worship creeping things. An abominable beast, Romans 1. And all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. They're worshiping them. See that? And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jehazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man, and look at this, in the chambers, those little houses, those little sections of rooms of his imagery, in their brains, the chambers of his imagery, in their minds, in their imaginations, they have chambers, for they say, this is what they say, this is what fools say. That's why they make the groves too, by the way. The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. God's not going to do anything. Okay, don't worry about it. We haven't heard from him in a long time. And the mother uses that to capitalize today, according to the book of Ecclesiastes. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the thoughts of men's hearts are fully set in them to do evil. So because you don't get punished right now, you just go out thinking, ah, God's not going to do nothing. He doesn't see me. Verse 13. He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. And he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Poor little god Tammuz. Poor little god Tammuz. Little whoop. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, I mean, this isn't God's house, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, look at this, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord. So the temple of the Lord, they put their backs to God's temple. Okay, watch this, and their faces toward the east. They face the east, and they worship the sun toward the east. Look at that. Do you know of any religion? Oh, duh, Muslims who bow down and face the east, and they pray. That's Baal worship. That's the worship of the sun. You see, it's not just Roman Catholicism that's done this. Yes, the Vatican City, the mother, uses the biggest hammer in her toolbox to permeate it out there, but you can't just say that, wow, it's just Roman Catholicism. No. Look at verse 16, and he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their, so they, yeah, temple of the Lord's behind me, put my back to God. And their faces toward the east, and they worship the sun toward the east. Yeah, guess what? The sun is the lake of fire. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, when the earth was darkened, the whole earth was darkened, and the sun was darkened, the earth was dark, sun dark, when he was hanging crucified for those last 3 hours, God took the power of the Son and put it on his soul. And so you like the Son so much, that's the lake of fire. God Almighty is going to cast all unsaved people into the S-U-N and enjoy it because you didn't believe in the S-O-N. Just like God. You want to worship the Son? Now go swim in the lake of fire. Verse 17, then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Yep. Therefore will I also branch to their nose. I, as a cop, used to arrest a lot of people snorting coke. Thanks, the mother, for promoting the drug program. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Okay, we got to stop here because I think it's going to kick off. We're at the 52-minute mark, dangerous territory. Remember your homework, seek out of the book of the Lord and read. And listen, all these things you're seeing,